in that. So if you'll bow with me, we'll have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we know that we're two or three are gathered at, for one purpose and cause, that Thy Holy Spirit will dwell amongst them. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, as we've come to learn more of Thee, we pray that Thy Spirit will guide and direct us this class and those things which we say and express, that all things, Heavenly Father, might be for Thy glory and edify Thy name. And so we thank Thee for this opportunity we have to reason one with another, that we might come to a unity of understanding of that which Thou would have us know. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get started in our class, we've received a text from one of our sisters, and Sister Beth is going in for some tests and stuff at 10:40, I think, and has asked for prayers. So I'm going to have Brother Eric come up here and offer a prayer in her behalf, and pray that each of you, I pray in your hearts for it too, Brother Eric.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we pause at this moment in the stillness of the hour, that our thoughts might be tuned to You. You know the difficulties which our sister Beth faces. She is no stranger to hardship or the trials that sometimes come through life. And Lord, we would pause and petition You in her behalf for this appointment with the physician that she is meeting with, that You might give them direction and guidance and enlightenment as to that which they should do. We know, Lord, that our sister Beth desires greatly to help build Your kingdom. And Father, we know that You do not look upon the outward appearance of man, but upon the inner soul, upon their heart. And we pray, Lord, that she might receive Your blessing in the illness that she suffers from, that those things that plague her might plague her no more, but that she might find comfort and relief in knowing You and in Your word, and that You would bless her and bless her family as well. So hear our petition, Father, in her behalf. We praise You for Your many wonderful works and for the many blessings that she has received in her life. And we ask all these things through the name of Your Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen.
You must have scared Darren off. Our theme for the day is surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee all the days of my life. And I want to we can think of the goodness and mercy and the things of the material blessings that the Lord's blessed us in, but I hope today maybe we might focus on those spiritual blessings and things that he's put upon our hearts, the goodness that he's had to care for our spiritual needs, and the mercy he's shown us in those times. And so I want to open with a scripture out of the 9th chapter of Matthew. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house. Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and with his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw them, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with the publicans and the sinners? But when Jesus heard them, he said unto them, They be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinners unto repentance. You know, it's easy. It's easy for us to come and gather out of the world and come together and worship and classes and fellowship with those that are of like mind and spirit. But as we shared in prayer service, we had some families that are a family that wasn't of this faith. And it was pleasing unto me, and I'm sure pleasing unto the Lord, to see the response of this body of saints as they took them in and made them feel welcome. Just as Jesus sat with those in that room that night, and if we really look back on our lives, where would each of us be? We've probably each had our own moments when we've been walking the crooked path. And Jesus called for us to come and listen to him, that we might learn of his ways.
To me, one of the things that is important is that the Lord knows our hearts, and the Lord has done some powerful things in people's lives to change their thought and their actions. And I agree that we're going to have to learn about the way that the kingdom will be like, not like it is in Missouri or Kansas or New York or someplace else, because in the kingdom it's going to be entirely different, where we're going to love each other because we love Jesus Christ first. And that will be a force to draw us close together. So I know when I was in the military and they sent me overseas to a foreign land, it took me a long time to adjust to be involved in that kind of a situation. And it's rather interesting that I'm joyful to hear the testimony of accepting this group, this family in, to the Lord's house to worship on these hallowed grounds. That is not only faith, but that shows the power and love that God has for us to share with each other.
I was sitting in prayer service this morning, And I've thought about all the different people that the Lord's put in my life. From some of the 70s that used to stay with Dad and Mom in our homes. The things I learned from sitting around as a young boy, listening to their testimonies. And so we wish that every child had a chance to have the privilege to sit under that kind of ministry as I was able to. I remember some of the elders of Elder Harley Martins that passed away here recently, not too long ago, a year ago. The times that we'd be at church and he'd draw me aside, come here, Dan, I want to talk to you, and share some guidance that the Lord would have, that he'd share with me. I think of my brothers and sisters from Adrian that I've known for so many years that he's put in our lives to build friendships. And I thought about, as I looked around, we got new families, and I see the friendships that are building, and what a joy that brings to my heart. Sometimes he puts people in our lives that we can help them. Sometimes he puts people in our lives that they can help us. Last night, my brother Kenny, the Lord put in my life a couple years ago. And we've had some good times. Last night, when it began to rain, Lynn needed her books covered up. I says, Kenny. Kenny's right up to help. He's always there to help whenever I need it. He's always offering to help. You know, sometimes if somebody asks us, we might help. And it's that way a lot of times when we have our activities such as reunions and that. Well, if somebody asks me, I guess I can help. But I'm sure not going to volunteer. But see, this is one of the things Kenny's taught me. Can I help? Can I help? And I believe that's the way Jesus was. As he walked amongst the children of men, he was always looking out, can I help? Sometimes he healed the bodies. And many times he healed the soul. That's the goodness and mercy that he has. He sees the needs in the lives of people. That's what he wants us to become. That's what his Zionic people are going to be like. They're going to get the prompting that I need to call somebody. I need to go to the hospital. And they're going to willingly go to help. In the 58th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, it says, beginning of verse 1, "Hearken, O ye elders of my church, Give ear to my word and learn of me what I will concerning you, and also concerning this land in which I have sent you. For verily I say unto you, blessed is he that keepeth my commandments, whether in life or in death. He that is faithful in tribulation, the reward of the same is greater in the kingdom of heaven. And ye cannot behold with your natural eyes for the present time the designs of your God concerning those things which shall come hereafter, and the glory which shall follow after much tribulation. For after much tribulation come the blessings. Therefore the day cometh that ye shall be crowned with much glory. The hour is not yet, but nigh at hand. You know, when that scripture was first referred to me, that I needed to study it. Every time I would get a trial or a tribulation, okay, Lord, I'm ready for a blessing. And I would look for some great blessing, that which we might look forward to at the end time. You know, sometimes a blessing is just being able to get through the tribulation, if you really look at it. Because there's so many things that happen in our lives that we in our own strength aren't able to overcome. And so, as Brother Joe expressed, we need to look for the little blessings that come day to day in our lives. And recognize that we know that we'll have tribulation, we'll have trials, we'll have temptations. Because the Lord wants a tried people. We've got to recognize sometimes we might stumble. We might fall. And yet, as I shared the other day, what the Lord had shared with me about the darkness and discouragement, that we always need to know that He's there, that He'll never leave us alone. Brother Eric prayed for our sister Beth, for those of you from Adrian. She's been suffering for a number of years with cancer. And yet, when I go to church, her and all her troubles that she's going through, she's one of the first people, one of the first ones when we came, one of the first people that'll greet you and welcome you with a smile and give you a big hug because of her love for people. And her great faith that she has. She's been a great example for our congregation. So what it is to really trust in the Lord. To not know what tomorrow is going to bring. To appreciate one day at a time. that blessing that he gives of being able to live another day. Remember, O Lord, 25th Psalm, 6th chapter. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to the mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners his ways. Remember not the sins or my transgressions, according to thy mercies. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. You know, I'm grateful that we have a Lord that can forgive us when we ask for repentance. Not remember the things that are past, or not hold it against us. You know, we as in the natural man have a tendency, if someone offended us, it sticks with us for a long, long time. And sometimes that's hard for us to get rid of. And yet, if we were like the master, when they have asked for forgiveness, or maybe sometimes we just need to forgive them and they don't even ask, that we can get on with our life and live the kind of life that we're supposed to live. But we have a master that can forgive us our sins. No matter how bad we think they might have been. We know we've been forgiven. And that he's looking for the potential that's in you, and you, and you, and you. Of what you yet can do for him in this part of his vineyard. But it takes someone that's willing, like Kenny. Can I help? You got something? Leonard here. Raise your hands high so we know where to go.
I just like to share a testimony of the power of God working, and you never know which how it's going to affect the lives of people. In 1992, I had some people that did some real damage to me and my family and hurt us pretty bad. But after that happened, the Lord told me I needed to pray for this man. And I didn't want to, but I knew the Lord had commanded it, so I did. And my prayers probably weren't very sincere to start with. But as time went on, I began to become more and more desirous for the welfare of this individual. When I first started, I said, Lord, it says not to bid them Godspeed if they're doing evil. And what do I pray for? And the answer came to me that I was to pray that they might come to the point where they would know the Lord. And so those prayers became very diligent in praying in behalf of those individuals. And 25 years later, they moved to Concordia. We're going to church together now. We ride together to church, and we've shared many things together. He still hasn't joined the church, but he comes real regular. His wife, who used to have some spiritual gifts but had lost them as she departed from the church, has gotten back to church and has started having some of the spiritual experiences that she used to have. So you never know. Just listen to the voice of the Spirit. And if it tells you to pray for those that despitefully use you, you pray for them in diligence, and you'd be surprised what might happen.
First of all, I want to say we were sitting on the side there by the dining hall, and Kenny came along and did a hi-fi to Arlo. And he says, "Daddy, that's my friend." And I just thought that was so precious. Over the years, I've met a lot of people in my business who, discovering they were members of the church, and they stopped going because somebody hurt their feelings. There's so many out there that are not coming because of hurt feelings. And I know they're the losers. And I have told them that to their face. But all like he said, you can only pray for these people. I don't even know their names of some of them. But it's sad to see that someone would allow hurt feelings to keep them away from this gospel.
You know, we can let things fester within us. And stress can do mighty things to our minds and to our bodies. I met a lady from Australia a number of years ago at a reunion. And as we were sharing after a class, or after one of the services, or whatever it was, we were sharing one afternoon, and she bore her testimony to me. She'd gone through a divorce, and it bothered her so much that she says, "I got into a vegetable state." She says, "I was curled up and couldn't do anything." And so she was going to keep going downhill, or she was going to do like Leonard said, she was going to approach the Lord and ask, "What can I do?" And so she began to pray, and she began to get better. And just as healthy the day I saw her as she probably was when she was in her 20s. But she says, "I had to allow the Lord into my life, and He began to give me blessings. And then He gave her another great trial after that physical trial. He wanted to find out where her heart was. Her husband, her ex-husband, had gotten remarried and became ill and handicapped. And this woman come and ask her if she could help her take care of him. And she went and helped take care of her ex-husband. That's a heart that can forgive. All the hardships that she went through, all the pain and struggles that she went through,
That's the kind of love the Master wants us to have for others. Those that seem unlovable. I remember one time had some differences with a man. Caused me some anguish. And we come upon a place where we were supposed to give ministry together. And I asked the Lord, how are we ever going to give ministry together when we don't seem to see eye to eye on a few issues? And we'd gone to a priesthood, early morning priesthood prayer service. And in that prayer service, the Lord told me I needed to ask for His forgiveness. It means that's what the Lord asked me to do. I, with a sincere heart, went and asked for His forgiveness. And we've talked. We both went about our ministries. And we've gotten along fine ever since. So the Lord wants to know where our hearts really are. Like I say, that's why He had Israelites walking around for 40 years in the wilderness to find out where they really are. You know, that's probably why we don't have the kingdom, because the Lord's wanting to find out where our hearts really are. And whether we'll serve Him as we ought to. Brother.
You were talking about stress. I have a living testimony of stress. I used to take care of everything I needed to take care of, I felt, in our life and our married life and so forth. So I was going to work one day on my motorcycle and came up on a curve, and that's when I passed out. And they took me to the hospital, and they were trying to find if my heart was leaking blood or what caused me to pass out. And after about 3 days, the doctor came in to me, and he says, young man, he says, your trouble is that you've got stress, and stress will get up on you and kill you quicker than anything because it affects your heart. And he taught me a lesson. What I can't do in the ways of the Lord, I turn it over to the Lord. And I don't reach back and take it back from Him. I leave it there. And I cannot, my vocabulary isn't big enough to tell you what a burden came off of my soul. And all those things that were pressing me down, the Lord has taken care of. And I've seen Him doing that in an individual's life. So I say to you very strongly, don't you try to handle it all if you can't. Let the Lord take care of it, and you'll be much happier. The outcome of my physical being, my heart pumps good, everything's fine. But it was the stress that what got me down. And the other doctor, the young doctors, they couldn't figure it out, but the old man, he knew, this young, older doctor, he knew exactly what was wrong because he's seen it happen. But stress will kill you quicker, and you won't even know it.
The old adversary's kind of got a silent way of going about to get us. I remember talking to a young man one time. And he made the comment, I don't know if I want to live anymore. Things that were going on around him was bothering him so much that the joy, which we ought to be feeling, wasn't there. And if you don't have hope and joy of what the Lord's got in store for us, it's going to be a rough road. He couldn't figure out what was wrong with him to express it so you could try to help
And so I finally, it says, have you ever been a thought about being administered to? No. But yeah, that'd probably be good. And so he was administered to. And in that administration, Satan was cast out. Because if you don't allow room for the Lord in your life, you're going to allow room for the adversary. And in that administration was said, in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, I cast thee out. All the problems he had was still the same. Whatever problems it was at that age that young men go through. But he was a different person from that time on. That's goodness. That's the Lord's goodness and his mercy. Knowing at times we can't help ourselves, but that he can help us climb up closer to him. In 2 Nephi, in the third chapter, it's quite a lengthy verse I want to read to you. So if you've got your scriptures and want to follow along. But I thought these words were so important. 2 Nephi, 3rd chapter, and we'll start at verse 39. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent up on high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of his spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains. My eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I was forbidden that I should not write them. Oh, then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow and my flesh waste away and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one have placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of mine enemy? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of thy soul. Do not anger again because of thine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. My soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of my enemy? And wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates? Wilt thou not shut the gate of thy righteousness before me, that I may walk in the path of the lowly valley, that I may be strict in the plain road? O Lord, wilt thou encircle me around about in the robe of thy righteousness? O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape from mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Isn't that what we all desire? Isn't that a prayer that we all ought to be praying? That the Lord will be with us and open those avenues, that our hearts might be right, that this devil won't have power over us because of our righteousness. Do you want that in your life? If you don't want it, then you don't really want the kingdom. Because we'll be free from that in the kingdom. So, we've got to learn to trust in the Lord. To see the goodness of the Lord when He shares it with us. Brother Harold.
I was just thinking, when I was still employed, there was a lot of times I didn't do any necessarily praying before I was encountering a difficult situation sometimes. And I found that I struggled in finding the answers to what I was, you know, trying to solve. But later in my later years working, I had occasion to travel more, and I was flying from place to place, and while I was flying, I had plenty of time to think and ponder what I was going to do when I got where I was going, and I would pray about it, so to see that I'd had some assistance or guidance in solving what I was supposed to be going to solve. Because I worked in a technical field, and it was oftentimes difficult situations, and that it paid off, believe me, many times. Because when I'd get to this account where I was going, I found that within no time, or you know, very short time, I was able to resolve the problem that I went for. And I know that it wouldn't have happened if I'd have been just relying on my own efforts always and forgetting to pray. But I learned that. It took a while in my career to learn that, but it happens with time.
Sometimes the answers we're seeking don't come quickly. It just amazes me when I hear of people that have prayed for something for 7 or 10 years. I'm a very impatient person. And, you know, to wait that long, to trust that the Lord will give us the right answer, lead us down the right path, takes a great faith in that. And I know that if we're honestly, truly seeking with a sincere heart and trust and wait upon the Lord will give us the direction we need to go. That's what happened in the in the church today. People can't wait upon the Lord. You know, you read in church history, the early organization, when he asked the Lord, what should we do? Go preach the gospel. Go preach the gospel. Doctrine and Covenants, many times, or three or four different places, where men had to ask him what would be most of most worth to their souls, individual men would ask. What would be of most worth to your soul? What would be most worth to my soul? And these men were told to preach repentance and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It would be of most worth to their souls. And so, if we want to get to where we want to go, if we want to get to where the Lord wants us to go, some of the things that we've studied this week, we need to heed to. We can keep going the path we're going, but the experience that I had on those reunion grounds about coming up higher is what the Lord wants for us. We should leave these grounds this week on a higher plane than when we came. And we should not wait till next year to pick up at the same place we started this year and come back. But we ought to be able to go further upward. Mike, here.
And we also should go home and tell the message and live our lives so that our neighbors and those that we come in contact with can see a difference in our lives also.
Got to live what we preach. You know, if any one of you have a great experience this week, experience with the Lord, big or great, you need to share it with someone that wasn't here. And that. So if we want to grow, if we want to grow as a church, we're going to have to share with those around about us. Time to time, I'm put in a place and I wonder, Lord, why am I there? I still don't know why, but I do know that I'm there for a reason, His purpose. And every once in a while, I get an opportunity to share with one of the guys I work with about the Lord. Sometimes it's a seed that's planted when we don't see the response of it. Maybe it's somebody else, Alberta. Look out, Darren.
No, I'm not even going to bring him into it. My husband, when we got married, his family was as opposite from my family as was possible. He did not have the desirable family that we would love to have. As you know, Beverly and I are the Monday girls, and the Monday boys were our brothers. And so therefore, you have an idea of how we were raised in the church and what we believed. When my husband found that, he wanted to share it with everybody. And he wanted mostly to share it with his family. But they wanted nothing to do with it. We went to Oklahoma one time, and he had a brother-in-law and a nephew that was ready to take him on. They had all they wanted. But you don't take Eldon on because he knows a lot of what he's saying. He reads it, he studies it, I live it. There's a little bit of difference there. But I don't want those Jehovah Witnesses at my family, at my door. I don't need them. I don't argue the church with anybody. And if you don't want to listen to me, don't bring yours to me, please. But that's just the way it is. But now on Facebook, you watch all of his family, eventually all of his family is popping up on Facebook, that they love God, and this one loves that one, and this one loves somebody else. And they're all believers in Christ. They may not be ours, but they are in their own ways, and they all love God, and they know who he is. And for that, I am thankful. And Eldon does share a lot. I don't share a lot other than the way I try to live. And if you do that, where you work and what have you, eventually they notice, because when I worked, they did not tell dirty jokes around me. They watched their language and this type of thing. And for that, I was thankful for it.
We're all witnesses for the Master in everything we say and everything we do. And can you imagine a day when we have Zion upon the earth? It says that there will be those that will flee up to Zion to learn of her ways. Won't that be a glorious day to be a part of? We're Wilson needs to change the tape, so we'll take about a 10-minute break. And we'll start back on, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.